Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Life at the Dusk Live. This is your boy, Seti J, and it is another beautiful Wednesday. And, man, that means it's a hump day after dusk Wednesday. And every Wednesday is how we do it up, or every hump day, as we call it. And definitely, always great to do it. We always have to remind you of a PSA that we have every Wednesday, and that is, if you want to hump somebody, please do it responsibly. All right, there you go. You have got a hump day PSA. Now, going into some more stuff, today's show is going to be about my girl, Condi, and she is actually one of the artists that's going to be featured on Double Tap Mixtape Series, mixing her French culture and American background all into one sound, or as she calls it, Afro-French. So definitely, you got to check this out. This woman is doing a lot of great things, and she's been holding down here, I'm holding down the U.S. for a hot minute now. But also, not only is she an artist, she is also a model as well. So we'll be talking to her about that in acting too. So live things of her, and we're also playing her track Electro. So today y'all gonna be getting a French lesson today. So y'all be on the lookout for that. And you know, I love the fact that, you know, we actually have a lot of people that speak French actually listening to the show. That's a really good look, because of the people who came here through Belgium and came here through Paris. All that kind of stuff there, it really just shows that, you know, this is a global show, and that's how we do it. So what we're going to do, we're going to check the phone lines, and then I know this is a hot mess day, but I got some hot mess too. One hot mess story I got to share with y'all. It is very fitting for hump day. All right, let's see who we got. All right, let's see, calling you on Life at the Dust Live, your boy Seti J. What's up?
What's up, Seti?
What's up? Oh, it's Candy. In the building. In the building.
What's up? Hey, everyone.
It's definitely a pleasure having you. You know, you bring another element to the show, and that's another element to, you know, the website and all of the kind of stuff, you know.
Thank you.
It's like crazy. It's like having the best of both worlds. You got a woman who speaks, you got a black woman who speaks French. I mean, oh my! it's the best of both worlds. But I don't know what to do. So, now, kind of tell everyone, let everyone know about you. Like, how did you actually start doing music?
Well, I started at 12 years old, singing, you know, started off doing like little karaoke stuff, but then I started to work on my own stuff at the age of 16. I'm 25 years old now, and I moved to New York in 2008, so that's when I moved pretty fast here in my music, in my acting career, in everything in my performing arts, basically. It was definitely a blessing being here in New York. And, I'm just, that's it.
Now, as far as, like, because you were actually in French for a very long time, kind of tell us, like, what's, like, the difference between being in the States versus being over there?
You know what? No, I was born and raised in Paris, so I'm very bilingual, and it was very different for me, because the opportunity in France is just it's a little bit less freedom. You know, I love my country, but it's just a little bit less freedom and less creativity. You know, I just love being in the U.S. and being open. You know, I started being more open by in high school. I moved to I was in Chicago for 7 years before I moved here in New York. So I was in Chicago since the age of 15 years old. And, you know, I went to Lincoln Park High School, and from there I did everything and, anything that involved performing arts, because it was just impossible in France, you know. Like, we didn't have school spirit, you know, like cheerleading, you know, like the choirs and stuff like that. All the stuff was known just in movies over there, you know. So yeah, basically I did everything, like cheerleading, pom-pom, show choir, gospel choir, concert choir, you name it.
So you were kind of like me, like I did, like, it, I was, you go through the yearbook and you're like, dang, he did everything, so.
Yeah, people.
You get bored, you like want to do, you just want to do so much at once.
Yeah, people was looking at me like I was crazy, you know, because, you know, it's just, when you come from somewhere where it's impossible, you know, that really opened your mind when you're here. Like, it's like I exploded when I came here. You know, I'm so happy to be here. And I just, you know, a lot of people that's here that realize that, like, you know, that's great. But a lot of people don't realize that this, you know, there is no excuse. Like, you in America, you can go ahead and pursue what is your passion. You know, so that's what I did.
Now, I mean, in the way I was, like I said at the beginning about your accent and stuff, like, how did people, like, when people first, like, were noticing, like, you telling them where you were from and then hearing your accent and stuff, how were they, like, what was, like, their reaction to it?
You know what? I got much better, very much better than the first time that I came. Like, you know, I only took like 2 years of English when I left from France when I was 15. So, you know, I was bad. Like, you know, it's just like you taking 2 years of Spanish and then move to Spain.
Yeah.
You know, so I was really bad. My accent was really thick. And, you know, it was half and half in school. It was just, you know, I was made fun of it. But then people liked it. But then people didn't understand it, you know. So I was really just in my own little space the first time, you know, my first time in high school. So it was just, I would say, you know, I just took care of myself. I didn't mind, you know, I had it all. Like, it was just good and bad, you know. I didn't really care. I just did what I had to do. And, yeah. And but no,
no,
I got
excuses.
Yeah, I got better, exactly. And I used to actually think that my mom would have to be with me every time to translate for me. That's how bad I was, you know, in my career. I always knew that this is what I want to do. This is my passion, you know, performing arts. So I was like, you know what, my mom would have to come with me everywhere that I go to translate. That's how bad I was. But I thank God So I thank God I got way better now. Yeah. So.
Oh no, I was cool when I saw two that spoke different languages, and they were like, just like, oh my, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
So. Yes, so we're going to move on to going forward or to much of the track we're getting ready to play here in a moment.
Cool.
Tell us a little bit about Electro.
Electro, you know what? When I wrote this track, you know, it's really about my come up to the industry, because it's definitely about me and how I am, especially the French part. You know, unfortunately, some of you guys is not going to understand it. But, you know, I will, you know, translate it one day. But it's just the whole track is basically talking about how I came up and giving thanks to the people that believed in me and, you know, basically saying I didn't care about people that didn't believe this could, you know, didn't believe in it, or it's really explaining a lot, you know, and it's really just my heart, this track, and also it's bringing out, you know, the French style of dancing, because, you know, I'm a dancer too. I actually started off as a dancer. I was doing modern jazz, then I did hip hop and all stuff. And so the dance style is called Tectonique in France, and it's based of like electro, vogue, kind of. It's a mix of everything. You can, if you want, you can, like, you guys can YouTube Tectonique, and you'll see that style of dance. And I cannot wait to do my music video for it, so that I can show you guys what is it about. And it's very cool. It's very fresh. And I'm bringing my French and my little life story to this point, in this track. So.
All right, just get ready, Tectonique.
Yeah,
Here we go. This is a late show with my girl Candy, and then we come back. We gonna chop it up with her some more about, you know, the acting and modeling side. So we'll be right back on Life of the Dust Live. Your boy Sunny J. Let's go.
This is for all my people in Paris, and all my scalpers, and all my scalpers. Finally, your girl. Yeah. Just like you, Monty.
Your boy said, "Hey, Jay, and my girl, special guest, Candy."
Hey.
Now, one more thing I had to talk about your music too. those of y'all like, okay, oh, see you in French, but y'all got to, she does some, y'all got to check out some of the classic American songs she wrecks too. When I witnessed that video where you were singing In Vogue,
that's
like one of my favorite songs. I was like, oh man, I was just about to go listen to that song. That's all I was just about to go listen to that song, and I saw it. I said, whoa, you sing that song to see? And I was like, oh, okay, you know, when people get their classic songs, they mess them up, you mad. But you were getting it, so I was like, okay, thank you. She wrecked it. You're going to do it to her right.
Thank you. But no, yeah, actually, you know, I always tell that when I perform, I always do a little piece of, like, singing, because my music is very pop. So I don't get the chance to, for now, show off my voice. But, yeah, I mean, the best performance I did in New York was at the Apollo, and I won second place singing I Will Always Love You, by Whitney Houston version. So, I do my best. I just make sure I always say them, because my song is definitely very pop.
I mean, it just shows, it's good. Like, some people, like, they try to play through the pop scene. Mm-hmm. Some of them can't really sing. They try to get into, I want you to sing. You can't get them to do it, but you're a great person. Hey, I do pop stuff, but don't get it twisted. I can hear some notes. And you definitely, I'm sitting there, like, I'm just, like, glued to the screen, because I'm like, wow, she really is killing it.
Thank you very much.
But, yeah, so some of y'all that may have been, oh, I hear French stuff, yeah. Trust me. Yeah. Just, she can wreck French, she can wreck English, whatever. So it is what it is.
Really?
All right, now, let's get to the other spectrum of you, which is modeling. How did you actually get into modeling?
Modeling, you know what? My first really gig, like, doing modeling was when I was 17. It's not really a modeling gig, but, you know, I was, like, into pageants. I just, like, two pageants, and one of them was I had once a first runner-up as Miss Black Teen Illinois. And, from that, really, I just started doing a little bit more, like, photo shoots and modeling. Then when I came here, I got into, urban stuff, urban modeling. And my best modeling gig here was I was one of the main stage models for Cat Williams' tour, NYC tour. So, yeah, it was like eight of us, and it was like just, his Pimpin' tour in New York, and, it was fun, and that was pretty much it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I look at your stuff, and I look at the range of how you do with your modeling, too, because a lot of times some people, like I always tell people, there's, I like balance in the industry. Like, I like the adult entertainment side of the modeling industry, and I like fashion, glamour, eye candy, all that.
Oh,
like,
okay.
All these different realms mixing the one, because some people, they complain, they go, oh, I don't like this one. I like a balance. And
right.
To me, you kind of give us a, when you look at yourself, you kind of give us a balance of both, almost.
Yeah. It's like, exactly. I'm in the middle. Like, I don't do too much. I do, I guess, a little, tasteful modeling, and very more to the commercial side, too. you know, commercial print stuff, and but like on the urban side, it's not too much. You know, I don't, I really don't do nudity. So, you know, it's just, yeah, a balance to it.
They can probably put it opposite. But you say part is probably because of you coming from another country where more so the high fashion and stuff is more of the norm over there versus here. It's still the norm, but as far as black women, we are, it's more urban over here.
Yeah, it's more urban. Yeah, and then, I mean, the other thing, too, in France, it wasn't like that, you know, like, I mean, if you really wanted to get into modeling, you can't be thick, you can't be another size over, like, two, you know. So they're really close-minded about that, you know, this drill in the old-fashioned there, you know, so I wasn't really doing anything over there, because it wasn't me over there, you know. And the other thing is, they, you know, it's the height requirement, the size and everything. It's just not me, you know. I'm only 5'7", so it's like, I mean, that's pretty good, but it's just, you know, they want like 5'9" and up, and then my size, you know, I'm 5'6". They want like 2'0". So, so yeah, I'm pretty much home here.
Yeah, I mean, look at me, because the thing is, that's one thing I was hoping you would take for granted. Here, you just have some people are more accepted to pretty much more range of stuff. There's so much more you can do that's more accepted over here.
Yeah, I believe that a lot of people, you know, as soon as people realize it here, you know, they're lucky, you know, very lucky to be able to do anything, you know, beyond some magazines, you know, and music videos, you know, movie. Like, it's wonderful to be able to, especially if that's what you want to do, you know, your passion, it's wonderful, you know, it's definitely better to be here in, you know, in a major place in America.
All right, now, going back to the music side, how did you actually end up getting involved with Global Tech Mixtape Series / International Hip Hop?
Oh, with Scott, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? I have a very good friend. His name is June. He, you know, since I first came here, you know, I was crazy. Like, I probably performed everywhere over here. I just tried, I really hustled, you know, my butt off. And so, you know, I meet people, and I have a good friend of mine in the industry, June. He's, you know, we met from a while ago, and at the time he was working with 50 Cent, This Is 50, and I mean, he grew himself in the industry, and he hooked me up with, like, you know, some studio time, like the recording at P. Diddy's recording house recording studio.
Okay.
And, yeah, Diddy's house recording studio. And, yeah, that's where I met the engineer, good friend of mine, also Jermaine, goes by Flamethrow. He basically referred me to Scott. You know, it's from people to people. So yeah, so that's how now I'm working with Scott on some stuff and Flamethrow. So it's a blessing that you know, just because I stick to my drive, and, you know, I hustled a lot, and that's just how everything get put together.
Oh, because I know you're actually Scott frequently goes there, like, do a lot of stuff over there, so yeah, it was only natural for it to happen. So
I'm definitely glad to see you.
And what's crazy is, I got to tell the story of how it was just crazy. Okay, so So when she contacted me to let me know about the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, getting the show and that, letting her know everything and all that. Like this other website I'm on, I ended up running it. How the heck did I run into her and just added her? Didn't, and then just, and I was like, but I looked at the name, and I wouldn't look like an email. And so then I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, okay, maybe I'm crazy, but these names are too identical. Did my research, and I was like, dang, that's the same person. So it's crazy how I ended up running to you and not realizing it was the same person from the email.
Right, at the same time, right, at a good time. At the same time you found me at this other site.
And I'm glad I found it because, you know what, I'll be real. Originally, like, I thought Condi was your, the way it was in the email, I said, oh, I don't know if this is a guy or a girl. So I'm going to have to reply. I'm going to say, I don't say him or her, trying to do all the research.
Well, maybe because my last name showed first, so a lot of people get confused.
Yeah, I was so glad, I was so relieved when I saw that. I was like, oh, okay, now I know it's a woman. I could reply and say, ma'am, and not sound crazy and go, hey, I'm the girl.
Wow, that's something.
All right, so I'm going ahead. I told y'all I had a crazy. Y'all know I usually do crazy stories on Mondays, but I gotta share this one because it's Hump Day. It's Hump Day at the Dusk. It's only right. Okay, so this is coming from News1.com, and man, what the heck are people doing? This is like crazy. All right, this Wisconsin man was apparently arrested for having sex with his couch.
What?
Okay, now, yeah, he got arrested for having sex with a couch. Okay. Basically, this is what happened. He was off-duty policeman, Ryan Edwards, was jogging, and he ended up stopping dead in his tracks because he saw a man appearing to have sex with somebody leaning over a yellow abandoned couch, which was on the street. As the officer got closer, he actually witnessed that the guy was really thrusting himself up and down on the couch. And so then apparently, you know, the cop yells at, what are you doing? And the guy takes off, run away, and they end up catching him the next day. And so basically what he was doing was he was basically fighting. He was finding a crevice in between the two cushions, and he was getting it on. He was humping the couch. And so, and y'all got to the picture of this dude. He looked crazy. Like, if y'all think he's crazy, you know, I looked at him and said, yeah, this dude is crazy, so.
That sounds crazy.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, yeah.
Was that
dang, I mean, that must have been a good couch. He was having sex with the couch. So,
was that in New York?
No, that was in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right, now, I'll see if we got a... I'm about to go... I'm going to take callers. I'm going to go to this quick caller real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Be on Life at the Dust Live with Sandy J, special guest Candy. What's up? Hello? Yes, what's up? Who is this?
My name is Jay. I'm calling from Queens. Just a big Candy fan. I'm just like almost wondering, like, where did she get her inspiration? Like, where did she draw it from?
You know what? Oh, my inspiration. Man, I don't know. I just have a really, really deep passion in music. You know, I looked up to the greatest, you know, Michael Jackson, of course, Janet Jackson, Christina Aguilera, Mariah Carey, you know, my inspiration come from seeing beautiful, great entertainers like them, and Yeah, basically, and myself, you know, like with my own style and putting it together and just, you know, plus my passion. That's really a big load of all that in one. <It's>, so,
okay.
Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
That's real cool, real cool. That was actually a very good question, Colin.
Yeah.
All right.
Another question I have for you too is as far as the craziest. Speaking of fans, what's the craziest thing a fan has said to you?
A fan?
Yes.
You know what? It's not that crazy, but I had two situations. One, this girl was like, oh, you know, she loved me, and she watched my videos on YouTube every day, you know? So that was cool. That was very cool. And then the second thing was, okay, that was, like, very different. So it was... one of my fans from Twitter, she asked me, she just told me, oh, you know what? Do you know Justin Bieber? Can you tell him I love him? And I told her, no, I never met Justin Bieber, not yet. And she's like, well, can you tell him I love him because it's my life? And I'm like, no, I never met him. And she's like, yeah, I love you, but, you know, if you can. And I'm like, come on. His empire is crazy, and it's just, you know, it's affecting my fans, and so that was like the second, you know, that was funny. That was definitely
That was weird.
Yeah.
That was just weird. She was really relentless about trying to get you to go talk to Justin Bieber.
Yeah, it's just like basically trying to hook me up with the kid, and I'm like, no, you know, this is not happening right now. But
yeah, I remember some little girl was like, "You can tell Rick Ross." I was going to go to a Rick Ross show, and she told me to tell Rick Ross she loved him and she wanted to have his baby.
Oh my
girl
god!
Girl was 15 years old. She was 15.
Oh no! Yeah,
that
was crazy.
But yeah, that was a little crazy.
It was fun. Yeah, it's very fun. And then I just love being a role model. That's my. I love being a role model, so I just love him. You know, I do little girls and girls my age, and just telling me that they, you know, they really look up to me, and you know, they love my drive, and you know, like to be a woman like as I am, you know, today. And you know, this it's like the best feeling, like especially when it came from my little sister too. That's it's great. You know, I just love being a role model. I just love that.
Okay, so now I'm going to ask you your off-the-wall question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually going to give you our favorite thinking music that we play to give you. I'm going to ask off-the-wall questions. And today's off-the-wall question is, if someone gave you $1 million right now, mm-hmm. what's five things you would get with it? So,
hold
on. Think on it, and we'll give you about 30 seconds to think on it.
Okay.
All right, we're back.
Okay.
All right, so five things that you would, if you had $1 million right now, what's the five things you would spend it on?
Okay, you know what? I may sound selfish to some of y'all out there, but this is me, right? The first two things, I would definitely put it in my career, like, you know, videos and everything. You know, the first thing would be in my music. The second one will be in my acting. The third thing that I would do would be to get a house for my mom and take care of my little sister. Fourth, take care of the rest of my family. Fifth thing would be, I don't know, trying all the restaurants in, I don't know, in here, in America. Yeah.
Sounds good to me. Sounds good to me. Now, okay, so as getting ready to come to a close, you know, I want you to go ahead and let everyone know as far as how they can keep up with your music and keep up with everything you just got going on.
Okay, you know what? First of all, yeah, look out for me. I have my first speaking part in this show named Mission Dawn on Nickelodeon. It's going to air sometime in November. Also, I just got through doing a feeding actually this week for an upcoming movie with Leonardo DiCaprio called The Wolf of Wall Street. And on it, I'm going to be, well, I'm just like a featured waitress on it, so you look out for me. Also, you know, my previous work was on Cadillac Records. I played, I was like a featured girlfriend of Lil Walter, which is played by Columbia Short. Is Cadillac Records. And yeah, basically you can keep up with me and follow me and everything to know what else is going on my website, CandiceOfficial.com. Is KandiceOfficial.com. CandiceOfficial.com. So, and my Twitter, RoleModel08. It's RoleModel08. And everything else is in my website. So, yeah.
Well, definitely, I give you a hand. It's definitely a pleasure to have you on the show. Definitely appreciate having you. And, you know, I want to let everyone know, as far as you miss any parts of this show, you can check it out at blogtalkradio.com/SettyJ, or you can check it out at dustspot.com. Simply go there, click Life at the Dusk, and it'll let you listen to the past five shows, recent five shows on there. And you can even go on iTunes for free, type in Life at the Dusk Live, look for the episode marks, Hunt Day at the Dusk, Artist, Model, Conde, Role Model 08. So there you go. That's and there's many other ways into the show, but that's just a couple. So that being said, once again, I appreciate you for coming through. And,
Thank you so much. I'm very happy.
I like the fact you brought another element. Because on this show, like I can tell people about this show, it's all about music. It's not about hip-hop. It's not about R&B. It's not about pop. It's not about country. It's not about rock. It's all about music. And all about models and the people that just living out their dreams. So I appreciate you for bringing another element to the show.
And your passion, yes. Yes, definitely. Thank you. Well, I'm very happy to be here and to meet you and everything is great. Thank you for that.
Well, definitely. We definitely keeping in touch. And I said, y'all check out her stuff. Like, the woman is, like I told you, the woman is really, she's very humble and she's doing a lot of great stuff. And yet another reason why I say when you just act humble, things happen for you, and you can tell me otherwise, but she's making a lot of big moves, and hey, just even the woman who had to learn English and stuff on the fly very quickly, so she's showing you, hey, don't give me any excuses about doing it. I don't want any excuses from everybody else, so there you go. All right, we are officially out of the building. As we roll now, we remind you, everything you do, no matter what you do, no matter how you do it, remember, where there's a J, where there's a Candy, where there's a U, there is a way. Y'all tune into the episode of Life As It Does Live, your boy City J. We'll see y'all on Monday, and Monday's show will be having another very, very special guest, Mr. Keel. We'll be talking to him about his music and how he actually got the name and all that good stuff. And he's actually on the Global Tech Mixtape Series as well. So we'll see y'all then. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say my special goodbye today is going to be au revoir.
Au revoir. A bientôt. Au revoir, tout le monde. A bientôt, oui.
Yes. I had to say that. I was like, yes.